started. First of all, I'm Lindsay on staff here. Some of you may be looking, who is this guy? Just started a few weeks back. Excited to be on staff here at Saanich again.
All right. So now listen, we're all adults here, right? I think. Can we say that? Even some of the kids are going, yeah, I'm an adult. Absolutely. Yeah, you are this morning, okay? Now listen, because of that, we've all experienced this kind of thing. Like you're here, right? I think you are. Are you here? Are you not? Okay, actually, I think I believe you. Because we've all experienced this. This may or may not have happened with you, with your spouse. You're in the kitchen, and you're having a conversation, and one of you is talking. That seems bad when I do that. One of you is talking, right? Like you're talking, and all of a sudden you get the, are you listening to me? Oh, yeah, I'm listening, uh-huh. Maybe you had teenagers or little kids and all that. Like you've experienced that where you are literally audibly hearing what's going on, but you're not really hearing what's going on. It happens. We can be where we are, but not really. I've been at sporting events, and I look around at some of the people who got, they must have got dragged there because they do not. Concerts, right? You've been at some, maybe kids' concerts, right? And you're looking around going, I don't know if I really want to be, am I really there? I was, I'm a pastor, obviously, and I was at an event about a year and a half ago. I didn't want to be there. I didn't think I didn't want to be there, but it was clear I didn't want to be there. I was in this room, probably about the size of this, similar number of people. And I got to be honest with you, everyone but me was into it. And I was getting grumpier by the moment, honestly. Like, I was there, but I was missing out. God was doing something in that room. And somehow, although I was there, I really wasn't there. And so this morning, we're going to be thinking a little bit about that. What does that look like? I don't know if you remember the movie Dead Poets Society, one of Robin Williams' movies. I love that. It's one of those motivational stories. You got this young teacher who's trying to inspire these young students, right? And being a young teacher, he's coming up with all these creative ideas, and these young students, they just start to, you can just see it. They're like, oh, this guy's amazing, and he was inspiring them. And one of the young students who was really buying into this, his name was Neil Perry. I don't know if you remember the character of the story. And he said, listen, I want to live deep, to suck all the marrow out of life. I love that line. I want to live deep and suck. I mean, don't think about it because it's gross, but I want to suck all the marrow out of life. And you know, I think Paul in Colossians, if you've got a Bible or a smartphone or something with the Bible on it, maybe you ripped that page out of your Bible this morning knowing we were on it, please turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 24 to 27. Paul, in these verses, is wanting to help us to understand that we can live a life, but have we really lived? And we get that. We can be so busy making a living, but maybe not really live. Colossians 1, verse 24, now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for all ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all those who have not yet met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to
living, to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Paul here, we're gonna dive into this. Paul here is wanting to help us to understand how to live this life in Jesus. If you like to live deep, to live rich, to live a full life. He states his goal right in the middle there. And it's that we would have the full riches of Jesus, the full riches of Jesus in our lives. This is what Paul is wanting to help us to understand. Now, this is not for some elite, entitled group of individuals. This isn't for professional Christians, whatever that would be. It's not for anything like that. It's not for the people who are just picked first on the team. It's for everybody. For everybody. For all those who choose to follow Jesus. For all those who are willing to surrender and say, "You're God, I'm not. I want to trust you. I need you." For all of those people, Paul says, Christ is in you, and it's the hope of glory. Christ is in you. The hope, and it's a mystery. I mean, that's kind of confusing, let's be honest. That's a little hard to understand what all of that means, and we're not going to completely be able to unwrap that this morning. That's one of those things that we discover and learn kind of as we go on this thing called faith journey. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ just in, let's say, Billy Graham or Mother Teresa or Pastor Steve or, you know, whomever you think is really, like, go Jesus, but in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Peter put it this way, and he said that we've been given everything we need for life and godliness. And it says that we participate, this is weird, participate, but profound, participate in the divine nature. Why? How? Through the promises of God. And then you read what Paul said, the promises of God are yes for you and me in Jesus. The promises of God are for all of us in Jesus, and Jesus is in you, the hope of glory. It's getting crazy what God wants to do in our lives. Watching a little TV this week, as you probably are, of course, we have summer ads going on, unless you've PVR'd something from the winter and you're watching, and you're like, why are they advertising that right now? But that's a whole nother thing. Watching this summer ad yesterday, and they've come out with these new floaties, right, for the pool. And this one particular floaty, actually, it's pretty cool, but it can get confusing. It's like those soccer nets that you have this band around it. You can kind of just do this, and all of a sudden they fold together, and they're fantastic, unless you don't do this right, and it smacks you in the nose. And anyhow, this one lady, she had figured it out, and she was walking out of the pool just feeling all proud of herself. But she had this really cool new little floaty thing. It was fantastic. What does that have to do with this story? Well, you see, here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just kind of go, follow me, and then when we do, just sort of throw us out in some floaty thing out there somewhere and just kind of text us and say, hey, good luck. Hope it's going well for you. Enjoy those waves and all that life has to throw at you. Fantastic. And just kind of shove us away from shore. That is not what Jesus does. That is not what God does. You see, there's a spiritual synergy. This is a passage that, well, verse 29. Came across this way back in the day when I was just a young adult. And Paul says there, to this end, right, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All the fullness of God, of Jesus in you. It's a mystery. It's a struggle. I don't really get it, but I know it can be true. I mean, come on now. There's times where you've been, you know that God wants you to do something, and you're sitting there having one of those preschooler or teenager or just bad adult moments, right, where you're going, no, not interested. No. And you're having this conversation, right, with somebody,
And you're saying, no, 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 no. But then you realize, okay, maybe I should. And you just throw up that little prayer. And I don't know if you're reminding God of his promise at that moment or if you're claiming his promise at that moment. I don't know exactly what's going on, but you go, okay, God, all right. And you take that step out. And it might have been hard and it might not be easy and all those kinds of things, but you take that step. And you realize, whoa, he is with me. And you take another sort of teetering step. Oh, my goodness, I'm not on my own. And God just faithfully contends with you, walks with you, is with you through that time. Paul, in his writings, not only here in this letter to the church in Colossae, but throughout Paul's writings, he regularly talks about the challenge of faith, the struggle of faith, and it is flat out real. There's no doubt about it. It's hard. And he will often use terms where he's talking about sort of physically, like I'm disciplining myself. I'm putting in practices in order to follow him. I'm sacrificing things. I'm laying things down. He uses some sporting analogy where I'm training my body. I'm beating it down so that I can serve Jesus well. And he understands that there's an incredible struggle to this thing called faith. And we need to remember his goal, because he states it right here. People who write letters and all this, and even in Scripture, we don't always get the goal. Sometimes it's almost a little bit hidden, but he goes, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Jesus Christ, who is what? Greater. That's what this series is all about. Jesus is greater, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that Jesus, with all of that, is in you. And you. Right? I mean, that's what he's saying. That's what he's driving at. Hebrews chapter 1, Steve mentioned this a few weeks ago when he was kicking off this series. And he reminded us about Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, in Jesus we see the full, exact representation of God. So if you're wondering what God looks like, if you're wondering what this means, all the treasures, all those kinds of things, well, I just want to encourage you, grab one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, start reading it, because Jesus is the exact representation. He's the one we're to be following. And he's in you. And he's in me. He doesn't just point us over there and say, good luck. Kick us off the shore. He jumps in there right with us. Let's do this together, he says. It's pretty great. Paul makes it clear that the teachings of Scripture make it clear that this faith journey is one of following, right? It's one of surrender. It's not a spectator sport. It's not passive, all right? And Paul goes on further down, and he says, listen, I delight to see how, this is our favorite word anywhere. Seriously, it is. I know it is. How disciplined you are. Aren't we disciplined? Come on now. We are disciplined people. It's a challenge by very nature of the definition of that word. But Paul is reminding us again that this thing called faith is unbelievable. It's awesome. And Christ is in you. But it takes discipline to follow and to trust and to continue to surrender moment by moment, day in and day out. But I love it. He says, he's delighted to see it. And as Kenan said a couple of weeks ago, we as leaders, we are so privileged to be able to lead you, because we are delighted to see it in you. Your discipline, your following, your serving, your loving. I mean, it encourages us so much. It's not about us. But I can tell you, it is so encouraging to be able to watch that. But Paul, even though he's delighted to see it and he sees it in these people's lives, he's going to continue to pour on and cheer on and challenge and encourage. And that's what we're doing here, to continue to remember that the fullness of God, the exact representation of God, is Jesus. That's who it is in you. and in me. And we need to learn how to trust and how to follow in the day in and day out of life. And so then we come along, and we come to verse 6. And it's one of those sort of pivotal transitional moments in a reading. If you've got a Bible and you've got it, there's a little even paragraph break with a nice little title and all that, so you kind of go, oh, this is another thought. Well, it's sort of, but it's connected. And in there in verse 6 it says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. So we need to stop. So then, just as I live, I need to do that in the way that I received him. How did I receive him? What was it? What was the list that I had to do in order to become a child? Like, what were all those things? Did I pass the test? I must have, because I'm in. Okay. What is that? What was it? And Paul's trying to remind us that this life of faith in Jesus was a gift. Flat out, free gift. We don't know how to receive gifts very well. Let me prove that point. Someone invites you over for dinner, over for coffee, over dessert. Oh my goodness, yes. Right? They invite you over. In your mind, you're now, well, we got to invite them back. And that's not a bad idea. Reciprocation, all that kind of stuff. Someone's blessed you. Sure, that's all wonderful. And that's fine. And that's good. But not if it's a checklist. That's where it gets kind of silly. And that's where it's just not really a gift. And that's where a relationship becomes more contractual than relational. And we do that so often in our relationship with Christ. He offers us a gift. And we are so grateful. We can't earn that gift. We didn't really deserve that gift, right? Like, we weren't so wonderful that all of a sudden, woo, on the team. No, he just flat out loves all of us. And he offers us a gift. And we follow him. We trust him by his grace, right? He calls us, and as was mentioned earlier, his beloved children. He calls us his children. He calls us a friend. He calls us a partner. And he gives us forgiveness. He gives us purpose. He gives us mercy. He gives us hope and wisdom. He restores us. He brings healing deep within our soul. He offers us a future. Healing, strength, these and more to all of us who follow him, to all of us who call on him. And so just as Jesus gifts us that, we now need to learn how to live in that. Not trying to pay him back. Wasn't a loan, right, with a deferred interest rate. No, it's a gift. Now live in it. And you see, we know we're starting to live in it when we start to give it, when we start to share it, when we start to offer it. And so Paul gets it. He understands that it's hard. He understands that we forget. He understands that we get kind of sidetracked. He understands that we get distracted. We start to look around at other things, right? And we start to hunger and thirst after those things. We in the early days, we really, oh, God, thank you so much for who you are, what you've done. I love you. And we're hungry and thirsting. The Bible would use those terminologies to kind of go hard after him. But in all relationships, married people, right? We understand friends, co-workers, that sometimes those things start to fade away unless we lean in hard. Unless we lean in hard. And so Paul comes to us and he goes, it's amazing. Christ, like God, the exact representation of who God is in you, and it's hope. Oh my goodness, it's hope. And the full riches of all of that, of who God is in you. and that we can contend with him. We can strenuously move together. God wants to work in and through your life, but don't forget, he says, it's going to take some discipline. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus, Lord, continue to live in him day by day, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. We need to continue to throw our roots down deep into God and allow him to strengthen us in all that we do. I said right off the top that it's possible for us to be alive, to live, if you like, but not really be alive, if you like. We're so busy making a living that we don't actually live. Jim Carrey, good Canadian kid, made some good movies, right? How does he do what he does with his face, by the way? That is unbelievable. Listen to what he said. He said, I think everybody should get rich and famous. But he didn't stop there. And do everything they ever dreamed of. So they can see that it's not the answer. Jim Carrey's preaching, right? Jim Carrey's reminding us, yeah, you know what? We can get distracted with some really great things. I mean, we live in a pretty amazing world. There's some awesome opportunity. There's some amazing things. But things are things, and God is God. And if those things replace Jesus in our heart, we don't have hope. It gets replaced. And there's this insatiable appetite for more and newer and on and on and on. See, greater living, okay, greater living in Jesus, our hope, the fullness of God, is an everyday experience. See, a lot of us, we live our lives sort of in something, in memory of so-and-so, sort of dedicated to or in pursuit of or in light of or consideration of or deference to. And Paul is telling us, yeah, but in Jesus, in him. And we're told so many times throughout Scripture, be careful how you live. Isaiah, I read this for you back in my candidating day. I'm sure you can remember everything I said to you 3.5 months ago because, whoa, not a hope. Isaiah 55, though, please, if you could, mark it, remember it, lean into it. Come to me, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good. And you'll delight in the richest affair. Give ear, come to me. Listen, that you may live. Now, humor me. When you read this later, you're going to notice that the math doesn't add up. I mean, what Isaiah is saying there doesn't add up. It's got an element of mystery to it, I would suggest. And there's an element of mystery in our faith, for sure. And we can get so caught up striving for things that just don't bring the ultimate satisfaction. Listen, there's nothing wrong with making a living. There's nothing wrong with having a fantastic vacation. There's nothing wrong with having a lovely family, a nice garden, a nice yard. If you can grow grass in Victoria, good luck. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? There's nothing wrong with all of those things. But they're not the ultimate thing. They don't bring ultimate satisfaction. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, does that. The goal of Paul, that we would understand the full riches of God living and dwelling in our lives, brings that. So continue to live in him. Live your life in Jesus as an employer, as an employee. I mean, Jesus wants to affect how you do that as a patron, as a consumer, as a dad, as a mom, in your dating, in your finances, as a neighbor, right? When you're right. How do you live in Jesus when you're right? And someone else is wrong again. How do you do that? How do you do it when you're the one who's wrong? How do you do it when you've been forgiven or you've been wronged? How do you do it when you're tired, right? Like Jesus wants to meet you in all of those moments and, of course, a bajillion more. And he wants to help you. And he wants to walk with you because he wants to, as Paul said, to empower you, to give you the energy of Christ that can so powerfully work within you. That is greater living. Come to me that you might live.